Blog Talk Radio.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge. What a lovely view from heaven looks at you from the Brooklyn Bridge. I love to listen to the wind through her strings, the song that she sings for the town. I love to look up at the clouds in her hair. She's learned to wear like a crown. If you've been a rover, journey's end lies over the Brooklyn Bridge. Don't let no one tell you I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. All the folks in Manhattan are sad, 'cause they look at her and wish they had the good old Brooklyn Bridge.
This is How's New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe. It's our recap episode for the month of October, and we'll be checking in on all the top stories in Brooklyn real estate from the past month. Stay tuned for Bob.
Don't let no one tell you that I've been trying to sell you the Brooklyn Bridge. You'll miss her most when you roam, 'cause you'll think of her and think of home, the good old Brooklyn.
This is Howe's New York with Brooklyn real estate attorney Robert Howe, and it's our monthly recap episode on all the top stories in Brooklyn real estate for the month of October. And now, as always, here is our host, Robert Howe.
Well, thank you, Jason, and welcome everyone to Howe's New York. I'm your host, Robert Howe, and again, we're talking about a multitude of topics, including real estate, community, politics, and any hot topics of the day. We're broadcasting from an undisclosed location in Brooklyn, New York, to a potential audience stretching from Longyear Buyer, Norway, to Ushuaia, Tierra del Fuego, thanks to the power of Blog Talk Radio. That was Jason Versace, my executive producer. And every month we do a topic on what happened in Brooklyn real estate for the past month, and we're going to do the same on tonight's show. Tonight we're going to recap all of the interesting real estate articles and internet articles that we have scoured the web for, and share our thoughts and your thoughts about those topics. And tonight's group of topics could be, I have some good news and I have some bad news, and which would you like to start with first, Jason?
Well, why don't we start with, and the first two stories that we're going to talk about are somewhat handcuffed. So maybe we'll start with the what might be perceived as bad news, and then we'll explain why the first story actually came to pass. It comes to us from the New York Times, and it's the story of a couple that felt like they had to leave Brooklyn. And now we've been touting Brooklyn for forever, especially on our recap shows, telling you how wonderful it is and how it's the most desirable destination on earth. And the title of this story is Escape from Brooklyn. And it's not so much that the people were escaping from Brooklyn because they didn't like it. It's just that there are a lot of factors that kind of became more and more weightier the further they, you know, they went on. And it is written. It's an interesting piece. It's an interesting study in real estate from the beginning of selling to the other side of the coin and winding up in your new destination. It's also written by, it's a contributing article, is written by a writer. So it is a little bit dramatic, and it's got, you know, there's a lot of, it almost, you can envision it as almost a movie, if you will.
You know, it could be a movie script, and as you point out, he is a writer, and at the end of the article, which is pretty long, it gives him credit for writing a book about self-consciousness, and you almost feel like this was his own self-consciousness agonizing from going from, you know, an urban setting to a suburban setting. And honestly, I always thought there was going to be a point, Jason, after reading this article, that he was just going to say, I am not going to the suburbs. I love urban life so much and have so much to offer my children. And my wife and I, who he describes as creative types, hopefully you and I are also creative types, even though, you know, maybe are. Well, you're in marketing. I guess that's creative. I'm a lawyer. I guess that's creative also. So I
one could argue you need to be more creative.
We could be more creative, yes. But not lawyers can't lie. They can only be very creative for their clients. But anyway, I thought it was going to be a happy ending here, but this guy actually moves and ends up in Hastings on the Hudson, which is now where it seems like a lot of hipsters are going, who are, for one reason or another, leaving the city. And honestly, I think this fellow, if you read the article, really only left because he had bad downstairs neighbors.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, you know, he was in a great up-and-coming neighborhood. He'll never find an investment like this again, not in Hastings on Hudson, I'll tell you that. Probably he had every coffee shop you could imagine, every organic store, every Patagonia store that you could imagine. You name it, he probably had it in his neighborhood, which was, I'm trying to think, Prospect Heights. But for some reason, he agonized and ultimately moved out, and he says, you know, he's liking his suburban life now, walks his son to school along a wooden path, and they pick up stones and talk, and which is great. You know, suburban and rural living is great, but I don't know why he really left the city, and I don't know what his feelings are really about being in a suburban setting. What did you get from the article?
Well, I agree, like you, I agree. I feel like that it was, it wasn't so much an indictment on Brooklyn as it was one little aspect that if you're a Brooklynite, you know, you pretty much, or even a New Yorker and live anywhere near the city, you're pretty much indoctrinated to this lifestyle at a young adult age, or even as a kid. Noise. Yeah, and everyone, we're surrounded by it. No one's going to sell Brooklyn on it being a quiet little hamlet. But you write even from the start of the article, if you open it up and you look at the graphic, it looks like a Far Side cartoon. It's almost depicting him as you almost get the impression that he came from some rural setting and longed to get back there. But he was a New Yorker. He even said he was from New Jersey and lived in Prospect Heights. So it's odd that at the end of it, and they even mentioned in the article that they considered New Jersey, but they still stayed in New York. So that's another win for New York. But the setting that he leaves for, it seemed like there wasn't that drastic a difference that I got from it, other than the fact that they might have had a little bit more of a nicer setting, maybe in terms of maybe surroundings, like a view of the Hudson. But it sounds like what they were looking for and what he has now is pretty rampant in downtown Brooklyn. At least, you know, we've touched on it before, but the neighborhood feel of Brooklyn being one of the main attractions. And it sounds like, you know, six of one, half a dozen of another, that this change was made, and maybe the escape from Brooklyn was a little bit over-dramatized, I think.
I think so, too. He says, for many reasons, we decided to leave Brooklyn. Lack of space. Well, duh, you are in the city, and they are building, you know, 50-story, one-bedroom condos all over the place. Lack of green space. Well, yeah, but, you know, you can walk downstairs, get a quart of milk, do your banking, your dry cleaning, do some food shopping, all within a one-block area. And, you know, there are major parks, you know, scattered throughout the city if you need that green. Or for the weekend, take a little trip out to the country. Lack of good schools. Geez, I'm surprised at. I don't, you know, I'm sure he could find a type of school for every type of student that's in his family. But in any event, I think overall it was probably he had problems with his neighboring tenant in the building, and I think that ultimately caused him to throw up his hands and leave. And I kind of wish the article said, you know, we were up in Hastings on Hudson having a latte, and my wife and I turned to each other and said, you know, we love Brooklyn so much, we're going to go back there. But it didn't. They're up in Hastings on Hudson, and they're enjoying themselves. Good for them. And someone bought their co-op apartment for condo, co-op, whatever, probably double what they bought. So he's going all the way to the bank.
It sounds like a lot of things that they listed are things that everyone kind of encounters on a daily basis, and, you know, it's what goes through everybody's mind who owns in Brooklyn. You know, is it, you know, worth it for me to upgrade in Brooklyn? Well, we're starting to see that it's harder for them anyway. That was one of the main factors, is that they had kind of waited and maybe gotten passed by for that window where they could have upgraded, and now it was a little bit beyond their price range. Especially where if you're going to upgrade in Prospect Heights and now in some of these areas, you're really going to be paying top dollar. So it just, to me, struck me as somebody who, you know what, wanted a lifestyle change, and Brooklyn. The Brooklyn lifestyle doesn't sound like what they really wanted, and it's hard to really, you know, say it's, you know, escaping from Brooklyn. It's just, you know, they this wasn't their ideal setting anymore. And he points out that he had, you know, what was cool to him now at 41 wasn't what he envisioned maybe at a younger age. So, you know, that's what I took away from it. And the reasoning by which they determined they had to leave Brooklyn because of the pricing is kind of what our next story touches on. And it comes from Bloomberg Business, and it details how the Brooklyn home prices keep setting records every quarter. So, in that regard, we spoke about, you know, good news, bad news, and this being the good news is that, you know, the reason why people might be escaping from Brooklyn is because the values are so high and the prices continue to escalate. So, if you own, that is good news.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting. This article, you know, counterpoint to the prior article, talks about a short supply of listings that's pushing the housing price up even higher. You know, as we go to the end of the year, once again, interest rates are talk of all the financial programs. They'll probably go up a little. So I think people now, buyers at least, are saying, you know, let me lock in at this 3.5, 3.75. Some even in the 2 if you get an adjustable rate mortgage. let me lock in, and it's just pushing the prices higher, and it's great for any homeowner, co-op owner, condo owner. They see their investment going up, and I don't think it's a bubble situation. I think this is just the true supply and demand, you know, going on in a borough that is still super, super hot.
Yeah, and this, the article notes that on average it takes about 55 days, or just under 2 months, for a Brooklyn home to sell, and that the median price has gone up 15% to, for the moment, a record price of over $675,000. And one of the other interesting things is that we keep talking about, well, what's the next Brooklyn? And it looks like the prices continuing to soar, actually now driving people to Queens. So Queens is kind of, I guess, riding Brooklyn's wake and getting probably a nice bounce because of the supply and demand in Brooklyn. And it's also its close proximity to Manhattan. So when we talk about the next Brooklyn, we may have to revisit Queens again.
Yeah, it is definitely overflowing into Queens, those boroughs, those communities that, that border, you know, Bushwick, and wherever that L train goes, you know, that's sort of like the Silk Road of real estate development. That L train. Who would think that, that would be such a popular, you know, draw? But you know, many working people in the past, 50 years ago, probably wanted to live by a subway. Most people probably did not want to live by a subway, but. That's all turned around, and the subway is the, or the elevated train, is really the thing that's driving, you know, a lot of the development in Brooklyn. And the train goes into Queens, and people say, let me go two more stops, and maybe that $900,000 co-op that I saw on the Brooklyn side is maybe $600,000 or $500,000 in Queens, and that's a hefty savings for a similar size property.
Yeah, and the piece also touches on something that, you know, sounds almost like legend, but we hear it more and more, is the bidding wars, and how homes or co-ops, homes, apartments being listed for a pretty healthy price, it sounds like, and seems in some instances, are now seeing multiple buyers bidding above that price to secure it. In one case that it specifies, a two-bedroom co-op in Jackson Heights, which was listed for $589, eventually sold for $603. So we've talked about that before, and we've heard a lot of our guests, some of the brokers who are calling in on our show as a guest, talk about in their market reports these bidding wars going on with greater and greater frequency.
Well, I think people are saying, look, here's a property I like. I've probably been involved in five other properties that I've been the unsuccessful bidder for. I got to get something. I got to get it now. And I am going to offer whatever, a couple thousand more than asking price, so that I'm the successful bidder. And they don't want to be penny wise, pound foolish, miss out on everything when if they increase their bid, if there's a little bit of a bidding war. They will be the successful bidder and put all those other lost deals, you know, in distant memory. But at least they'll have something and know that probably they're sharing in appreciation even while you're in contract and shortly after the purchase of that property.
And now I'm going to skip ahead because I want to continue this theme a little bit here. We're going to skip the next story and circle back to it. running along the same theme, from being priced out of New York, being priced out of Brooklyn, to the soaring prices contributing to why some might be being priced out of Brooklyn, to now the reasons why we don't see this changing anytime soon. It's from Biz Now, and the title of the story was Four Reasons You Can't Stop the Brooklyn Juggernaut. And while in the previous story on Bloomberg, you know, talks about record-setting prices every quarter, the prices are new records, it doesn't really dig into the metrics of why. And in this story, we actually get an interesting point of view from some real estate experts as to why that this does not appear like it's going to change. Trends that are going to continue this upswing in prices and in demand. What did you think about their list of reasons?
Well, it is pretty interesting. I guess the gist of the article is that they're saying, look, these major companies and employers, all with, you know, nationally known and maybe globally, are, you know, investing in Brooklyn. I mean, that's really not much different than improvements to infrastructure, like, you know, putting in a subway line or putting in a new bus line or putting in a highway. Once these businesses get entrenched, they're gonna have their employees looking around in neighboring communities for places to live. And also if you're a retailer, going to draw people, you know, from Brooklyn to your space. And I think you could kind of look at it as, you know, these businesses tend to be anchors, magnets, something that around which communities are growing up. You know, I mean, look at Whole Foods down on 3rd Street and 3rd Avenue, built next to the Gowanus Canal, Superfund site. They had to clean up the site before they even started working. But that anchor store really drove up the prices of everybody, all of the real estate around it. So it became like an anchor, a magnet, something that would cause the surrounding community, you know, to increase in value and improve. And it's like a tree setting its roots. It just gets getting deeper and deeper, and the tree gets stronger and stronger. Branches pop out. And I think that's what these businesses relocating in Brooklyn are doing. They're creating these anchors and magnets around which the rest of the community is flourishing.
Yeah, and we've also addressed this before in a lot of our recap shows when we tackled them in specific stories and cases where we've noted, you know, Time Inc. is coming to, I think they're going to Industry City, and we've noted other big box brands moving in. And this two of the reasons that they listed in the, this article for this continued growth is in addition to the expansion of Brooklyn-born tenants, the two-pronged business attack of Manhattan companies going into establishing a footprint in Brooklyn, and then also new companies coming into Brooklyn who aren't even in New York, who want to establish a presence and have decided to make that presence in Brooklyn, and then also coupled with the overhaul, the facelift, the renovating of large parts of Brooklyn, from maybe the Brooklyn Bridge Park area to, and we're going to talk about this in another story, the Brooklyn Navy Yards. So you know, all these different factors, the making the space more desirable for not just residents anymore, but these companies and corporations and businesses of all sizes to come in and plant your flag in Brooklyn.
And you point out something interesting. I think the businesses probably are pressuring the government city government to start improving the surrounding public areas so that their employees could have, you know, a nice sort of campus-like setting, you know, when they go to work. And that's the whole idea with improving the waterfront, improving the parks. So I think business is demanding of government. You know, look, we're investing. We want you to invest in the surrounding areas and make our subways a little cleaner, our parks a little cleaner and brighter, and make it a hospitable area for our employees to spend their working hours.
Yep, and the another element to this whole the first three stories that we've been talking about is and we circle back to the the market side of it and how it affects sales prices, and in the New York Post details a story about it's not just great. Brooklyn isn't just a great place for investing, for buying and, you know, living, and just, you know, a place for you to live, for businesses, but also for flipping property. So now it's got great long-term benefits, but now apparently Brooklyn is the third, is ranked third in the country for realizing the highest average of profit when you flip a home.
Well, yeah. Well, flipping is interesting. You know, it's a TV show now. You know, flip this house, and you even hear advertisements. You know, join my company and learn how to flip houses. And something that sounds too good to be true is generally probably not true most of the time. Are there situations where a savvy real estate investor can see a property and either the owner, for reasons of their own, want to get out fast, think they've made enough money, you know, with their property, don't want to hang in there too long to try to maximize it, don't want to invest any more money to make the curb appeal, you know, a little brighter, will sell to an investor, and the investor with a minimal amount of work will make the place a little brighter, a little bigger, a little cleaner, a little area. And we'll be able to attract, you know, with the right marketing, be able to attract someone who's going to offer, you know, a couple $100,000 more than what the investor paid for. But let me point out, you need to be an investor, which means you need a chunk of money. You need to want to risk it in buying a property and holding it, and hopefully there's no crash or some shock to the economic system that would cause you know, housing prices to stagnate or plummet. So it's not for the ordinary person who's just looking to buy a condo or a co-op. It's for someone who has a chunk of money, doesn't mind risking it, and probably in the end will have the same amount of money or a profit. But it's not for people who are watching the TV show.
No, yeah, and I think you mentioned that you have to be a savvy real estate investor and know what you're getting into and know what you're doing, and also have a good eye for what you're going to be buying and then in turn selling. And the story details one instance where they reference a flipper buying a property for just under $1 million in Williamsburg, and then flipping it roughly 6 months later for 1.5. So in that sense, it might not seem like a huge chunk from, you know, I bought it for $1 million and I sold it for $1.5 million, but in that short amount of time, that's a pretty big, tidy profit. And I'm thinking that the moral of the story might be that if you're going to do that, if you're going to be someone who does flip real estate and you're going to put your money at risk, it seems like Brooklyn might be one of the safest places you can do that. And you know, weather any any storm or if the market does change and take a downturn. It does seem like, you know, even in a downturn, the Brooklyn market still does pretty well for itself. But it's interesting, and it's an interesting business probably to be in. Probably a lot of high anxiety, but it, at least for this person, it paid off in the end.
Yeah, well, you're right. Brooklyn is the place. You know, if you're going to invest, Brooklyn is the place. You're not going to invest in upstate New York in a Syracuse or a Rochester where the housing crisis could be 20,000, 25,000. You're not flipping houses up there. You're lucky if you could even resell your house. But in Brooklyn, you're reselling your house with probably either modest appreciation or, depending on maybe some of the work you put into it, really incredible appreciation.
And we're going to probably be doing a video on this topic as well, so it will cover it a little bit more in detail in that video. And we're going to close with a story that was in the New York Times as well, about the Brooklyn Navy Yard. And this is called Reinventing the Brooklyn Navy Yard, and is one of the elements of why Brooklyn does not look like it's going to go anywhere but up. One of the reasons was the improvements being made to areas. And for me, I always had a fascination with the Brooklyn Navy Yard because it seems to be just this really interesting plot of land that has really changed so much from what it was. I mean, you think about it being from this another time. You know, where it was such an integral part of world history and then morphed into maybe some disrepair period where it was almost like a ghost town to some degree. And then it's coming back and it's, you know, they're putting this whole residential area there. They're going to have a park, businesses. Well, I mean, it just seems like it's got such a unique and varied backstory that it really does make you look forward to see how the Brooklyn Navy Yard is going to look going forward.
It's a huge piece of real estate. This was really probably one of the 10 places in the United States that turned out war material during World War II. Thousands of people worked here building ships and whatever other mechanical things, you know, they needed to build. It's really, like you point out, what a story behind it, going from an area that helped us prosecute, you know, World War II over in Europe and in Asia, now to, for a while it was dormant. Obviously, nothing was going on there. Then a movie set went in there, catering place went in, and with all the surrounding areas going up in terms of the apartment buildings, I guess as they were building a new apartment building, someone looked over and said, hey, there's, you know, like a gazillion acres of empty land that we could develop. And you know, essentially they're making a new community out of it. Theaters, grocery store, supermarkets, apartments, both affordable and market rent. So they're really creating, you know, a new community over there from scratch, from a Navy Yard.
It almost sounds like Brooklyn's version of Battery Park City. It sounds like that something that had nothing resembling what, you know, what it's going to be transformed into. In no way, shape, or form had any of that that usage prior, and now it's completely going to be transformed into this this space that's going to now morph into this I don't want to say the lush paradise, but from the description, That's what it sounds like, and it sounds like that the goal is to make it, you know, such a draw, again, for both residents and for, you know, businesses. A lot of shops, and they're trying to get, you know, shopping, mom and pops, retailers, and just reading from some of its history, interesting that, you know, they locked up drunken sailors there, then it was a prison for a while. It's just amazing.
You can pick up your car from the tow pound if you didn't pay your ticket.
Just an amazing, amazing, if those walls could talk, type of situation. And it really is, it's going to be very interesting to see once it's complete, once it's done, what that part of Brooklyn is going to look like.
You know, it's interesting, they said over in the 1980s, only 100 people worked in that area. 100 people, and now there are probably between the residential and the stores, you know, 10, 20, 30, 50,000 people will be either involved or living or working or visiting that area. It's really quite a story.
It is. It is. And with that, we're gonna bring our show to a close. A lot of interesting, broad-ranging topics, yet all in a way with a real connection, and they just show you that, like we said it before, every month we don't have to look far to find great stories about Brooklyn real estate and very interesting stories about Brooklyn real estate. And with that, our show has come to an end, and Bob, why don't you take us out?
Well, thank you, Jason, once again for finding these articles. And, you know, the topic of tonight's show was good news and bad news. And the bad news was just, you know, someone disaffected by, you know, life in the city. But the good news is he left, and tens of thousands of people and businesses are now setting their roots in Brooklyn. So yet another, feather in the cap, you know, for Brooklyn. Not that it needs any more feathers. Well, this concludes tonight's radio program. Thanks to our host, Blog Talk Radio, and thanks to Jason for unearthing all of these interesting articles about Brooklyn real estate. This is House New York signing off. God bless Brooklyn and all of its people. Wishing you a good night and a good morning and a good afternoon. I am your host, Robert Howe.
Like the folks you meet on, like to plant my feet on the Brooklyn Bridge.